This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Solar power is expanding in West Virginia thanks to shifts in federal and state policies.
The West Virginia Office of Energy submitted an application that we supported to set up a program across West Virginia that'll help buy down the cost of solar for families that really need it most.
That story and more coming up this West Virginia Morning. Support for West Virginia Morning is proudly provided by Luke Frazier. The city of Huntington and Cabell County have asked the West Virginia Supreme Court of Appeals to define what constitutes a public nuisance under federal law. Depending on what the court decides, it could allow the localities to appeal a case they lost 2 years ago. Brianna Heaney has an update on this story.
The defendants, Amerisource, Cardinal Health, and McKesson, have filed their brief that argues that the High Court should uphold the previous narrow interpretation of what is considered a public nuisance from the Circuit Court. They say that the court has never applied public nuisance law to the distribution of products. The companies acknowledge that there is an opioid epidemic, but they say in their brief that they didn't cause it. The state of West Virginia's case was also based on the idea that the opioids created a public nuisance, and it yielded a billion-dollar settlement. However, it was settled outside of court. The court is expected to decide by the end of this year. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Brianna Heaney in Charleston.
The Federal Emergency Management Agency is making it easier for people to get help in a disaster. Jack Walker reports on how this affects West Virginia.
In March, FEMA reformed its disaster assistance program, which provides aid dollars to people affected by natural disasters. FEMA reduced some eligibility criteria for receiving support. Plus, it created funds for serious needs and housing relief. FEMA spokesperson Trey Paul said these changes aim to meet survivors where they are.
So we've listened to our survivors, and we understand that it's such a stressful process, and we wanted to make things a lot easier.
Disaster relief applications are currently open for the storms that stretched across West Virginia in early April. Residents can receive a one-time payment of $750 for essentials like food, water, baby formula, and medicine through the Serious Needs Fund. For more information, visit our website at wvpublic.org. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Jack Walker in Shepherdstown.
A group of Mingo County miners is finally getting back pay after the mine they worked for went bankrupt. Despite producing 40,000 tons of metallurgical coal worth about $3 million in its last 2 weeks of operations, Benz Creek Operations WV laid off 44 miners in April and declared bankruptcy 5 days later. The mine failed to send the miners their final paycheck for those last 2 weeks. An investigation by the U.S. Department of Labor recovered $175,000 in back wages. The government agency obtained a temporary restraining order, preventing the company from selling the coal until they paid the back wages. The Charleston Coal Company is a subsidiary of the London-based Benz Creek Group PLC, which owns and operates metallurgical coal mines across North America. A lawsuit involving an Alabama industrial facility owned by the family of Governor Jim Justice is going to mediation. An order filed Friday by Chief Judge R. David Proctor of the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of Alabama gave Bluestone Coke and Black Warrior River Keeper until July 19th to reach a settlement. A complaint filed in September alleged that Bluestone violated the Clean Water Act by discharging pollutants into a stream that exceeded levels allowed by its permit. It also alleged that Bluestone has been discharging pollutants not allowed by its permit. The Bluestone Coke plant in North Birmingham is currently not in operation. In December 2022, Bluestone reached a dissent decree with the Jefferson County, Alabama Department of Health to pay $924,000 penalty, the largest in the agency's history. Freshwater mussels are like nature's Brita filters, treating up to 300 gallons of water each month. But their populations are in jeopardy in places like the Ohio River because of poor water quality and man-made dams. 6 years ago, the city of Philadelphia and partners began propagating mussels in a lab to bring them back to the Delaware River estuary. WHYY's Zoe Reed reports the hatchery is producing more mussels thanks to new scientific discoveries.
Inside a humid lab at Fairmount Waterworks, scientists gathered around blue buckets filled with water and fish. Using turkey basters, they stirred vigorously, attempting to attach mussel larvae to fish gills. As in nature, the larvae must attach to the fish to develop. Scientist Lance Butler of the Philadelphia Water Department carried a wriggling fish to a microscope.
We got attachment, guys, so we're in good
shape. Scientists recently discovered hybrid striped bass can host mussel larvae. Butler says not only do they have a better survival rate in the lab than other types of fish, but they also yield double the amount of juvenile mussels.
So we got in one inoculation around 12,000 juveniles off of 60 fish. That's unheard of. That's a great success.
He says the discovery makes restoration and improved water quality more possible. Zoe Reed, WHYY News.
A patient at Sharp Hospital has filed a lawsuit against the facility, its CEO, and state health officials. Emily Rice has more.
Disability Rights West Virginia has filed a lawsuit on behalf of an adult male referred to as JP with developmental disabilities who says he has been physically abused and wrongfully held at William R. Sharp Hospital. The company Westbrook runs residential housing for people with disabilities. According to the lawsuit, Westbrook removed JP from one of their residences in October 2022 and sent him to the hospital. Michael Foley is the legal director of Disability Rights West Virginia.
Well, it's ongoing for around over 570 days. And JP is really, sadly, he's the poster child for a failed system where the Department of Human Services that's responsible for overseeing and providing community placements isn't doing it.
JP was involuntarily civilly committed to Sharp Hospital on September 14th, 2022. A month later, the hospital determined that JP was clinically stable. However, Westbrook refused to accept JP, and now he has nowhere to go. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Emily Rice in Charleston.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:52. Areas of fog this morning, partly cloudy in the south, mostly cloudy in the north, a chance of rain and thunderstorms, highs in the 60s and 70s, chance of rain and thunderstorms tonight, lows in the 40s and 50s, and sunny tomorrow with highs in the 60s and 70s. Support for WVPB is provided by the West Virginia Symphony, presenting AVN Corporation Symphony Sunday on June 2nd on the lawn at the University of Charleston. Tickets and information at wvsymphony.org. Solar is expanding in West Virginia thanks to shifts in federal and state policies. Curtis Tate spoke recently with Dan Conant, founder and CEO of Solar Holler, about solar's growth in the Mountain State.
What is the Solar for All program, and how does Solar Holler fit in?
So it's a $7 billion program through EPA at the federal level. This all came through the Inflation Reduction Act from 2 years ago. And there was a competitive program across the country for states and nonprofits to put together programs to really help incentivize solar for low-income families across the country. The whole idea is, you know, solar shouldn't be, isn't, and really shouldn't be for just country clubs. And the West Virginia Office of Energy submitted an application that we supported to set up a program across West Virginia that'll help buy down the cost of solar for families that really need it most. There were a couple of other programs in there, including solar on for colleges and student housing across the state. And, we're really looking forward to implementing it or to, helping bring those projects to life in the future. But, we don't have any direct involvement. It's more just that we're really excited that West Virginia won over $100 million and really punched above our weight when it came to population.
The legislature didn't take up the community solar bill you pushed for. Has anything changed since then?
Well, I mean, the other piece that dominated the solar sphere during the session was the Public Service Commission case around First Energy and net metering. So that got settled. I think session was still in at that point, but at the end of March, the commission officially I accepted a settlement that I had negotiated with First Energy. We have until the end of this year to get folks in under the existing rules, and then everybody gets grandfathered in for 25 years before the new program rolls out in January of next year. So that gives time to plan. That's just top of mind for me as far as like the most significant change for solar in the state. Right now,
the U.S. Department of Energy recently announced a 250-megawatt solar project in Nicholas County. That's pretty big, isn't it?
Solar is getting cheaper and cheaper across the country, and we've seen the technology continue to fall in price over the last couple of years, even while everything else was going up. I think it's just kind of a harbinger of things to come.
Is there any concern that a change in the White House could roll back some of these policies? Or is the momentum too strong at this point?
I'd hate to see anything rolled back. I do think, though, that at some point the train has left the station. And, you know, it's been, I think one of the really powerful things about the Inflation Reduction Act was that it is extending solar and renewable energy off the coast. It's getting it into, like, it is driving an incredible amount of investment in coal country. And, you know, and we're seeing investments in West Virginia. We're seeing investments in Kentucky and Texas and Wyoming. And I mean, just all across the country, the areas of America that have powered the rest of the country forever are really, really benefiting from the IRA, and we're seeing this resurgence in manufacturing. So I have a hard time imagining a world where folks in Congress would want to take that away.
How does West Virginia compare with other states in terms of solar development?
We've got a stronger industry here at this point than California does. Just with, you know, with how everything's shaken out between the net metering, the deal we've got in terms of net metering in West Virginia is infinitely better than what California has at this point. So it's actually, we're kind of in an upside down world now where it's easier to do solar in West Virginia than in California.
That was Dan Conant of Solar Holler speaking with Curtis Tate about solar in West Virginia. Solar Holler is an underwriter of West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Bill Lynch, Brianna Heaney, Chris Schultz, Curtis Tate, Emily Rice, Eric Douglas, Jack Walker, and Liz McCormick. Eric Douglas produced today's show. I'm your host, Teresa Wills. This is West Virginia Morning.